Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Killer Bees, The Wheelhouse, and Charlie Polillo all reside here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here. Okay, so this is, maybe it's a real, I don't know. I mean, the Red Sox bombarded them with three grand slams, nine runs in the first two innings.
They're off on any... Any strikeout pitch that's close, they're staying off of. They're laying off of some 0-2 pitches.
They're laying off of some suspicious pitches.
I had someone say that they're probably – I didn't know if it was a joke or not. They're probably reading tip pitches or something like that. No. And I did say, well, listen, it's Alex Cora in that other dugout, and that guy's a master at that stuff.
Yeah, he's wonderful with that video camera. So here is Brent Strom talking about that very thing with Mark Berman.
We always are looking at our own guys, and we notice some things, you know, that the swings they take on certain pitches that raise our suspicions. And it's all perfectly legal on their part. There's no illegality. This is part of the game, and we need to clean up our our house a little bit.
Is it your tipping pitches, or they're figuring out what you're doing, or is it a combination of?
Well, I'm sure they've, you know, obviously they have the scouting reports on us, and we have tendencies that we need to watch. But perhaps there's some tells in there. I mean, you just got to look at poker players playing poker. And there's certain tells that take place sometimes. And perhaps we need to clean up our house a little bit. And get, if that's the case, we're always on the lookout for it.
Is that easier said than done, what you're talking about?
Very much so. Yeah, because guys, what happens is you may clean it up, and then in the pressure of whatever, we have a tendency to revert back to what we normally do. You know, so. Yeah, it's not easy sometimes.
It isn't. You know, I got this guy out on a 3-2 curveball before, and there's a lot of guessing games going on, but I think what he's referring to, when you got a nice swing against a curveball or a slider, and you know it's going to be a little bit off speed, and you time it up perfectly, and you know that it's curving, and you put a great swing on it, you're like, wait, wow. How'd you know that? But this is the way to go about it, Ryan Tepera. Not, oh, you know, they do some funny things over there. When it's a, you know what, now they come to our place and they only scored six runs. What? But they only scored six runs in game 1-2 at home. So Ryan Tepera, shut up. This is the way to go about it. Maybe, you know what, blame it on yourself. We've got to watch what we're doing. And you're absolutely right. Alex Cora is going to find, if you're doing anything that is in any way, shape, or form giving them an advantage, they're gonna know it. They're gonna know it.
Well, no, these are two teams who are great at doing that. I mean, you know, just in 2018, when the Red Sox ended up beating the Astros, but Alex Cora was with the Astros, they found Glasnow was tipping his pitches. They found where he was holding his glove, and they figured out he was tipping pitches. And he corrected it after the second inning. I remember Big Poppy was talking about that he knew that the Astros had caught his pitches, and they were reading his pitches. He was laughing about it. Yeah, I mean, it's like poker players with tells. The only baseball players have many more tells that they can give, many more situations where they can, you know, defensive pass rushers, I've heard this, can read the where the weight is on a hand or a foot. Like, they'll look for signs of where your weight is and how you're swaying and how much weight you're putting on your front hand and 3-point stance. It'll tell you kind of where you're headed, where the offensive lineman's headed. They read that. With pitcher, you got your glove, You got how you're maneuvering your hand inside the ball. You've got, you know, any number of things that can be used to determine if you're pitching, if you're tipping a pitch, or you, where you might be tipping a pitch, because you're throwing different types of pitches. And a guy like Alex Cora, what do you think? I would just be in there studying nothing but that.
Yeah.
I would have one guy who does nothing but study your team, self-scout, and study their team, like Strom talked about.
Well, right.
You got to know your own team, too.
And absolutely. On third and two, what does this team do? On first and 10, how often are they throwing? How often are they running? On, first pitch, fastball, how often is this guy? To left-handers, to right-hand. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that you can, any little advantage in baseball, especially at this level where the guys are so good, you're going to try and grab. And you know what? The Red Sox are really, really, really good at it. So you're going to have to. And they cheat too. They use videos, the video center field cameras to get an edge. So,
well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Troy is here. Let's get him in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you say, Troy?
Hey, guys. Hey, real quick on the superstition. I've got an 11-year-old son that's probably failing an AP science test right now because he is a good luck charm for the Astros. He had to stay up all night. And how about Houstonian kids? They have seen so many comebacks over the past 5 years. Like, they think it's normal. Like, so I keep telling them, like, they're the luckiest kid to grow up in Houston right now. But anyways, hey, we got to talk Crane and Correa and Altuve. I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point. Like, how many times those two guys are just coming through. We've got to keep them together. I don't care if, you know, pay Korea, whatever. If we have to figure out Tucker and Alvarez and all those guys later on, fine, we'll figure it out later on. But, I mean, at this point, we said if Korea keeps us up, you know, the fans are going to demand it. I think we're at that point, right? I think I'll listen.
Yeah, you can man all you want. You can punt and stamp your feet. Man, you can do anything you want, but he ain't giving him 10 years and $340 million. He just isn't. And you know what? That might be what the Yankees do. Dude has made himself, you want to talk about the best bet on yourself ever? It's Carlos Correa.
Mm-hmm.
He bet on himself and he won.
Carlos is a textbook superstar. Like, the way he thinks, the way he approaches the game, the way he plays, the mentality, and then the confidence to say, I know who I am. I know what I am, and you can have your doubts, but I know what I am, and I'm betting on myself, and he did it. It didn't help that Lindor signed, you know, the Tatis and Lindor deals. The Astros had done a deal a year in advance. Carlos wouldn't have been happy necessarily if he had had this year, and he was under contract for $22 million a year, but the Astros maybe could have had him for, at one point, if they had done the deal early. Of course, he turned down $6 million of $120 million, but had they done it a year earlier and maybe said, hey, here's $24 million, a six-year deal, maybe Carlos does that.
Maybe.
Well, once the market got set the way it did, it's impossible.
You wouldn't have done that then. Because, now listen, Carlos did
it's all hindsight.
You wouldn't have done it then because Carlos was getting hurt. He had a massage that broke his ribs.
Don't bring up that Carlos who gets his ribs broken by a massage.
Well, and you know, remember that Carlos that went to Cleveland, and he did hit a homer in that Cleveland series, but he was just a mess. So, listen, Carlos is 1-1, first round, first overall pick, and this is the first time that he's actually shown that he's 1-1. I mean, he was good last year, but it was a 60-game sample size. His OPS has been good, and that's not great. You know, it hasn't been great. This year, Carlos Correa is 1-1, and he bet on himself and he won. And now, you know, now with the Yankees in it, the Yankees are going to be, I'm going to tell you this, it's going to be the Yankees, because they're going to make him a stupid offer.
I know, it's going to be painful.
And it's going to be, yeah, he's going to be
in. That one's going to be really painful. It's one thing, Gerrit Cole, I can just cheer for Gerrit Cole to fail. I'll probably have to for Carlos too, but that one's not going to.
Yeah.
That one's going to feel super terrible. That's like Dream going to the Utah Jazz. You know, if Dream, like, man, the Rockets have lost Hakeem Olajuwon on a free agency to the Jazz. Oh, what? No. Earl Campbell's moving on from the Oilers, and he's headed to the Steelers. What? This is terrible. This is terrible. And, yeah, I can't think of other
ones. I wouldn't mind if he went to the Rangers. That'd be fine.
Yeah, no, be a Ranger. Like, I lost Silver Boot again, or Silver Slugger, or the Chalice, or whatever it is, to the Carlos did us in with that Silver Slugger, or Silver boot. Chalice,
it's the boot. Silver, yeah, boot.
Like, oh, the old Silver Bucket is not ours again. Oh, damn it. Are you sure it's not the Texans play for the Silver Boot? Silver Boot?
No, Astros Rangers play Silver Boot.
Silver Boot. Dallas, the Governor's
Cowboys,
Cup.
Yeah, Cowboys Texans play for the
is
Governor's
it the
Cup.
Silver Governor's Cup?
No. No. You're making this too difficult.
No, it's a rusty old bucket.
Yeah, that sounds like
JD, Carlos takes 4-160. No, he won't take 4-160. He's not going to still be in his prime. He'll be 31 years old. That's not in your prime anymore. Carlos is big.
Basically, what you're
right
asking
now.
Would he take? Well, let's see. Would you take 160 or 320?
Yeah.
Would you take twice as much as that? And it's all guaranteed.
Yeah.
Well,
320.
It's hard to not take 320. If you get close, if you get up in the 260 million plus range, maybe Carlos would consider it.
It doesn't matter now, but did Dusty say anything on why he didn't challenge the play at first last night? Altuve was safe.
He didn't see it.
Nobody saw it.
You have 20 seconds after the play happens to challenge 30. It. Is it 30?
You have 30 seconds.
Okay, I thought this was on broadcast 20. Regardless, 30 seconds. You've got to see. The TV did not have the angle where his foot came off until they came back from a break, so I don't think Dusty even saw it. To me, it looked like, oh, that's not even close. And that's what Joe... And Smoltz is like, and they made challenges, and Joe Buck said, and there it is, not even close. So there we go, the top of the fourth coming up or whatever. And then they come back from a break, and Buck says, and looks like right here, the foot clearly off the bag. The Astros maybe should have challenged that, but ran out of time, though. Luckily, Red Sox got away with that one. Hopefully, there's some home runs in here.
You know what? This is so mad. Joe Buck, why
hopefully,
is he
some home
why
runs are flying over
everybody?
The field here. For the Red Sox coming up. And there's a fly ball! Deep left field! Under it. And it's a fly out. Oh, damn it! Oh, well. The Astros take the
lead. Why do you guys...
Base hit by Castro. Run's going to score. Another run. And Smoltzy, things just go from bad to worse here for the Red Sox. Not, you know... For all of us.
Oh, no, it's a 20-second time limit. I thought it was 30.
Yeah,
it's
20. That's not a whole lot of time.
No, it's not. 8:13 ESPN 97.5. So what did I buy?
Oh, another home run by the Astros. This is terrible.
So what did I do immediately after the game? I went to Simple Seats.
Did you?
Yeah.
I went when it was up, and I told my wife, we need tickets now because it's fluid pricing. That's why sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. But there's never a fee with it, though.
And so I got my tickets for game 6.
There you go. And there's never a fee when it comes to Simple Seats. They don't have fees. They simply have great prices. And for the secondary market, when you're getting tickets off secondary market, you know, a lot of times you're going to be paying more than face value. That's how it happens. But the real pain is when you go to checkout and it takes forever to get to the checkout process. It's the longest process possible. And then you see the convenience fees there. Like $16, $20 a ticket. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is, but you're already in. That's how they get you. They get you in. And then when you're at checkout, you're like, well, I mean, I guess I got to do it now. I'm ready to check out. The Simple Seats, there are no fees ever. And so you know exactly what you're paying when you see the rates. You're going to pay your tax on it and that's it. No seat transferal fees, no, you know, special convenience fees. The price you see is the price you pay.
Quantity 5. Delivery $0.
$0.
That's all you get is text. That's it. That's everything's text.
And a lot of it is just downloadable. It's instant download. You do it through the MLB app. It's super simple. And that's why it's Simple Seats. Go to simpleseats.com.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 8:18 ESPN 97.5. Sarah Barshoff is going to join us in 12 minutes here to talk a little. Phil Garner, if you want to talk Texans with Sarah, Phil Garner is going to join us at 9 o'clock to
former
talk
Astro
about this.
Former Astro player
game.
And manager.
And man, well, he was an Astro, yeah, manager.
Didn't Gar play for them a little bit too?
I don't believe. I don't.
I mean, of course he was on that. Me and my dad were talking about that old pirate team that he was on. Didn't Gar play for the Astros at all, or did he just manage?
Yeah, he played from 81 to 87.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Gar was there.
Oh. 818 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Last night, the NBA started. And
Russell Westbrook was incredible. Incredible. Minus 23 in his plus minus. He was 4 of, let's see, I think 4 of 13 from the field, 0 of 4 from the three-point line. Took 4 three-pointers with them. 4 assists, 4 turnovers, minus 23. They had a lead, a 6-point lead at half. They, I think, had a 1-point lead going in the fourth quarter. Got demolished in the fourth quarter. Carmelo's on a team.
Did you see what Charles said?
Do we have the audio?
This Lakers team is a great team in 2010.
I think he's got it.
You got it? No.
He's pulling it.
No. Well, anyway.
That's great. The Warriors went in there and beat them, and the Bucks beat up the Nets. They're the defending champs. But, man, did you see, like, Giannis, 34-12-7. His numbers, he does not get the attention he deserves. These are LeBron in his prime numbers. Giannis is a back-to-back MVP winner who's probably going to be the favorite to go three. How many players, and there's talk about this being the greatest generation of basketball talent ever, then Giannis winning 3 straight MVP, that's Jordan stuff. He's going to win MVP potentially 3 years in a row during the quote-unquote greatest generation of basketball talent. He's 37-14 or 34-17 and 7, like it's no 34-12, whatever it is. It's these incredible numbers every single night.
Yeah.
He is amazing.
Yeah. And James Harden says he has no plans to leave the Nets. They didn't get a contract done, but he is going to stay, which is bad news since the Rockets have like their next 12 first-round picks.
I need James to rethink that.
James, get out.
Or catch
Brooklyn's
an injury.
Not the place. Look, Kyrie can't play. Nobody can play because of COVID. It's a terrible place to live. You don't want to be there, James.
Hey,
just get out.
Yeah, get out. But we do need to mention our Houston Rockets startup season tonight against Minnesota. They're a 5.5-point underdog, over under 229.5. You know, the thought is this team is going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm excited about seeing how they play tonight. What do you think their over under on wins is? We're back to 82 games. What do you think the over-under is?
The over-under the on Vegas Rockets number. Wins is going to be 32?
26.5.
Ooh.
Yep. And the under, you got to pay the juice on the under.
You have to, so they think it's going to be a few of the, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a really, really young team. It will be exciting, and they'll win some games.
What about this?
26 is a bad
season. You can
season.
Play over 27.5 wins and get plus 170. That's pretty good. Yeah. Just one extra game.
Get it.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, hit that.
Yeah, I think that's what you. I think that's what you look at.
Yeah, you tap that button. I get it.
Hit that. Tap that button. Like, well,
what?
I don't like the way this is going that much. I've already got, you know, a rooting interest for Jalen Green as Rookie of the Year.
You do?
Yeah, I think it's happening. I think Jalen Green is going to be. Spectacular. I'm excited to see how he plays tonight.
Yeah, this will be fun. So they start tonight. Yeah, we got that.
Good sports day. Astros
great,
at,
great day.
Astros at 4:08. Don't let the 3:08, you know, they're just trying to trick you into watching Big Poppy longer. Don't fall for it. Don't. And that guy, Kevin, what's his name, who used to host Alone.
Frank Thomas. Is it me or is A-Rod's hair unnaturally black? Is it me?
I hadn't even really thought about it.
You haven't?
Well, it's hard to tell. He used to have the blonde tips.
Yeah, but it is
unnaturally
black.
Yeah, well, probably. He's that age where he's probably, going jet black on you.
Yeah. Don't be crying about announcers, guy. We have plenty here.
Hold on. Local announcers versus, I'm not usually a fan of that, but Buck, and I'm not even an anti-Buck guy. I think it's kind of crazy. Love hearing. I don't mind Buck and Aikman at all.
No.
There's some people who hate that. I just found it like, wow. I mean, the Astros are putting on a show. This is a big, you would think when Jason Castro got the hit, it seemed dour. And it's the first time I thought, I wonder if, you know, Smoltz is a guy who's really down on the Astros and doesn't want to see the cheaters prevail, you know, that whole quote-unquote thing. And you and I, we've gone through it over and over. We know how many teams cheat, and he should too.
What?
But he's a pitcher. Maybe he looks at things a little differently, like, you know, and all I could think of with these strike zones that Laz Diaz had, and Laz was terrible. Laz just, on both sides, he was terrible. Both sides, there's bad calls on both sides. Both sides had bad calls. And he's missing the strike zone. And pitches, Laz Diaz was bad. But all I could think of was Smoltz had to be sitting there going, this is nothing. I got to, you should have saw what Eric Gregg used to give us. It was incredible.
Oh, my God. Let's get Jack in here. What do you say, Jack? Jack, you there? 3, 2, 1.
Jackula?
Jack asked Castro or Maldonado. It's Maldonado. It's Fromber on the mound. You got to have somebody who can actually talk to him.
Locke.
Yeah. I mean, yes. You. Maldonado is such a, he's such a good guy, and the guys love him. I mean, you heard Stromme say, you know, he's our team MVP. The way he handles the staff, how he keeps runners in check. I mean, he's just such a liability at the plate. And, you know, he's got basically one hit this postseason, right? That RBI single in Chicago.
Yep.
That's it. So it's tough to watch him. And I thought he was going to come through last night. He had two on. Every time it's a 3-2 pitch and it's down the middle and it looked like, oh, he got it. And he just popped it out to popped up the center. It's just, you hate that, but the guy is, they love him. They love him in that locker room. Castro came through last night. You do what you're doing right now. Late in the game, Castro's got to come in and pinch hit for him. Oh, well, Castro comes in and pinch hits for him. That's all. But Fromber needs Maldonado behind the plate. He's got to have Maldonado.
Yeah,
Greinke needed him. 33. What did they say? 43 of Greinke's 46 starts here, Maldonado was behind the plate.
Yeah, get that down.
Well, yeah, I know, but you want your whoopee out there. You don't want to do that to Greinke, too.
No, I like Maldonado.
Greinke's head might have exploded.
Maldonado's got a great cannon, yeah, too. Like, you don't run on him. He almost threw out, was it Schwarber, who was off first? He almost threw him out. Look, I like Maldonado. I really do. This hitting, though, has gotten really super terrible. And I know we're spoiled where you have the top eight guys can all hit for the most part. Although I couldn't have been the only guy who wanted to see Siri go yard and make their heads explode with what would have been a celebration that would have gotten him killed by Bob Gibson. Like, if Siri does one of his things, they would have hit him squarely in the face. Hmm. Bob Gibson would have, or Nolan Ryan would have hit him right in his face with a fastball. That's how hardcore Nolan Ryan didn't like it if you dug in too hard in the batter's box. And that's not hyperbole. He really found that to be an incredible affront to his manhood if you dug in. That's why he was dusting people off at the All-Star game. That's why Dave Winfield had to catch one under his chin at an All-Star. Nolan, it's an All-Star. Can we take? Mm-mm. Can we not be such a badass at every? It's just an All-Star game.
All right, 826 ESPN 90. But speaking of which, Ray Fosse died this week. Speaking of All-Star game, mm-hmm. he became the most famous catcher. One of the most famous catchers in baseball history when Pete Rose ran him over and destroyed his career. 827, Sarah Barshop joins us on the other side. We'll talk some Texans football with her.
Oh, good.
Gar is going to join us, Phil Garner, at the top of the hour, Scrap Iron. So we'll do that, too. So I want to talk right now about HR&P. Listen, you can call Laura Beavers here, and you can ask her about HR&P, and I can pretty much tell you what she's going to say. She's going to give them a glowing recommendation, how easy it makes her job as a CFO, how they do, how unbelievable reliable they are, how knowledgeable they are, and that was such a key during the pandemic, and it's been such a key every tax season with the Affordable Care Act. Chris told me, he said, hey, just tell people if they're having problems with the Affordable Care Act, it's okay. Just have them call us. We'll tell them, even if they're not our clients, just ask them to call us, and that's fine. And that's the kind of company that they are. That's the you're going to get. They're going to do everything to customize a plan that's perfect for your business. You're going to get a great deal, and you're going to get the most knowledgeable people in the business on this thing. When you see their operation, you'll be like, "Holy cow, this is first class." Everything that they do, and you're going to get that kind of service that we get every single day. It's all at HRP.net 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. Tell them you heard it right here.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. The Houston Astros face off with the Boston Red Sox in Game 5 of the ALCS. First pitch is today at 4:08. Now, back to the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Sarah Barshop joining us right now here from ESPN. She covers the Houston Texans for ESPN, and she's joining us here once again to talk a little Texans football here. Sarah, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing great. Where were you when the Astros were in that ninth inning?
I was in bed, but I was still watching. So I was glad that I was able to stay up late enough for that because I was ready to go to sleep. And then I saw that they tied it, and I thought, well, I should see how this ends.
Well, here's what you have to do then. You have to watch all of Game 4 in bed because...
Deal.
Yeah. Yeah. No. How about that? Game 4. Game 5, you have to watch the whole thing in bed now because... Because that's what we're superstitious around here. So whatever you were doing,
I'll do it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Sarah, Whitney Merciless this week. I mean, it. You know, everybody knows about the DeAndre Hopkins, Jadeveon Clowney, but low key, how horrific the Bill O'Brien era was the money that they get. Amy Fairbairn were $4 million a year.
The extensions.
But Nick Martin. Whitney Merciless. I mean, it's just guy after guy after guy that just was decision after decision after decision that had destroyed this organization, and just another reminder of how bad it was.
Especially because they're about to go to Arizona to go see DeAndre Hopkins. One of the reasons, you know, they claimed they couldn't pay him because they had these contracts that you just mentioned to give out, and one of them was Whitney. So it is, of course, interesting that this happens right before they go see two very familiar faces in Arizona. But, yeah, the last year of the Bill O'Brien era with those contracts, like you said, really, I think, set this organization back. And I think it's going to take a while. Like, yes, they didn't have the draft capital, and that will affect them, but to me, the salary cap space and these contracts they had to get out of, I think will maybe even more of an effect on their future rebuilding.
Right. And not only giving up, but you're letting DJ Reader go. Okay, Brandon Brooks, see ya. I mean, it's just like everything that they could possibly do wrong.
Reader's a core player that, yeah. Even though it's expensive, I mean, in hindsight, you look at it and you say, man, you don't have core players now. That's the kind of guy that you want to lock in on, and they didn't do it. And, Sarah, I just think right now we're at a weird place where it is Andre Roberts and Whitney Merciless get cut, right? And certainly not because of the people they are, but did this feel like this is just a move where Nick Caserio is going to start to alter the roster and go with young guys or basically find guys who are going to be potentially playing for roster spots next year?
I think so, but I don't understand why that wasn't the idea from the very beginning. Like, when you're building this team, there was so much turnover. You had the choice to build this roster however you wanted. You could have gotten lots of draft picks. You could have signed undrafted free agents, and you could have had this young team. I mean, you talk about competition, competition, competition. Well, why is the competition not against young guys? And look, Caserio obviously can do whatever he wants. He's a general manager for a reason. So it's interesting to me that the idea was to sign all these veteran guys, pay a significant amount of money and play these guys, and then midway through the season say, oh, this isn't working. Now let's see what young talent we have. So I'm curious what made the switch there, because this could have been going on all off season and season long.
Yeah, when that happened, I'm 100% with you. Why not sign as many undrafted free? What are you getting out of these guys? I just don't get the plan. Have we seen enough of Davis Mills that we now know? Because our contention was you got to play him at some point, but Is this enough, or do we need a couple more games to know that you still got to draft a quarterback with your first pick next year?
I think it depends. Here's the thing. By the time Tyrod Taylor is healthy, if it's not this week or next week, I mean, you could be 1-8 going into the bye. And then does it make sense to have Tyrod Taylor play? You know, yes, he gives you the best chance to win. There's no doubt about that. But if you're playing all these young guys, why don't you play Davis Mills too? And see, then you get an extended look at him. And I don't know. Maybe they'll draft a quarterback this upcoming draft. Maybe they'll decide, you know, the guy we want isn't there. No one's kind of taking the lead in this race if we have a high pick. Maybe we take another player, and maybe we play Davis again next year. And while I'm sure that's not what Texans fans want to hear, another season just like this one, I do get the sense that if the guy they want at quarterback isn't there, it's not outrageous to think that we could have another year of Davis Mills, or maybe Tyrod comes back next year and they have another filling guy before they draft the guy they think will be their franchise quarterback.
Well, you know, it's I think that how Nick rebuilds, like right now this house has been torn down to the studs, basically. And so every game this season, there are things that he's finding out about the players who are on the roster. I think the roster is going to flip. He flipped the roster this year a tremendous amount. I think he's going to flip it even more headed into next year. I think it's going to look way, way different again, especially when all these one-year guys are gone. Do you get the sense that there is a process that and a plan that is in place, or is it still developing?
I don't know. I would have told you that I thought a plan was in place until some of these moves to get rid of veteran guys, Andre Robertson, Wendy Merciless, and I'm not saying they don't have the right move. But again, this shift to going younger, I think it'll be interesting to see. Like, it's not just cutting Whitney, because before that, Jonathan Bernard is playing well, and he had taken snaps from Whitney. So I think in general, it's just going to the younger guys. And I agree that there'll be a lot of turnover again, but I'm not sure what Caserio was planning when he signed all these guys to one-year deals. And maybe it's that, you know, maybe we'll have some guys that stand out. If we get 3 or 4 long-term contracts out of this bunch we signed, then that's a success. But I don't know that those players are really emerging. And again, like, why aren't we doing that with younger players? Why are you deciding to do that with more veteran guys?
Sarah Barshop with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It seems like, well, maybe not this past week, but Coach Cully says quite often, man, if I had to do it over again, I would have done it differently. I guess we should have expected that from a guy that really wasn't supposed to be a head coach right now.
Yeah, that's been really interesting. I mean, especially, those have been some big calls, and in some ways changed the season and changes a lot of what we're talking about if those calls are made differently. But yeah, it comes with a guy who has never been a coordinator, and he's never spoken to the media the way he's spoken to us either. And not that he hasn't been accountable for his actions in the past, but just he hasn't had to address it with the media, which I think is really interesting when you think about how he talks about it after a game versus how he talks about it the next day. But to his credit, he's been standing up there and saying, no, if I had to do it again, I do it a different way, or that was my mistake. And in the past, we didn't get that sentiment so much.
Yeah.
Are you, what's your relationship with, or what's your personal take on where Jack Easterby is in this organization now?
I mean, I get the sense that Nick Caserio is the general manager, and he's making those decisions. And when we take input from other people, including Jack Easterby, yes. But Nick Caserio is the general manager. I don't think it's not like last year when Jack was the general manager. I mean, it's Nick. So I think Jack is influencing part of the building, and his job is to build the culture. But I don't think he's the secret general manager that I know some fans think is the case.
Not at all. But do you think that he still has influence in terms of who comes in, who doesn't? Nick Caserio is not going to take his first full-time GM job and let Jack Easterby run a team. That's never going to happen. But I'm curious about his influence in the building and maybe over the owner still, if that's still a thing.
I don't know about over the owner, but I think there's definitely influence in the building. I mean, that's who Cal said he wants to help rebuild the culture. And the guys you're bringing in are direct, you know, that's who the culture is, built around those guys. Well, I think he certainly has influence in the building, but I'm not sure about
whether that's over Powell or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bill O'Brien lost his job for these decisions, and we know Jack Easterby, they were hand in hand during the pandemic. They were together every day talking over decisions, and Jack Easterby's still in that building. So, and while Bill O'Brien is ruining Alabama's offense. So, you know, I it just, to me, whatever, what I think we're all on record of saying. So, Sarah, this team has actually competed at home. Is a lot of that just, you know, a rookie quarterback playing on the road, because they haven't been very competitive on the road? So is that mostly just Davis Mills not being able to handle road games?
I think it's also the teams they've been playing. I mean, they've had some tough road games. Obviously, Carolina here was tough too, and they weren't really in that game. But I think if you think about the two games they really competed in, that was Jacksonville and the New England Patriots, right? And, like, Davis looked good in that game. So part of it probably is that it's a lot easier. Like David Culley even said this week, he said, it's not because it's too loud on the road. Whatever it is, we've got to fix it. So it's probably a little bit more, some of it, the comfort of being at home. But some of it, I think, is just the opponents he's played too.
Yeah, 18.5-point favorites this week. And I don't know how you could possibly take the Texans. Sarah Barjot, we appreciate it. Thanks. How is it covering this team, Sarah? Is it difficult?
I mean, I miss having the open locker room. I think it would be really fun if we could just talk to guys about what this is like. Like, you think about what Fridays are like in the locker room, where it's just chatting with players and getting, you know, story ideas and kind of learning a little bit more about them and being more informed on this team. And so I miss that a lot. I think this kind of season, it would be great to have the locker room. But it's very different from covering the Bill O'Brien Texans, and I'm enjoying that.
Yeah. I could see how you'd be enjoying Bill O'Brien not being there. Yeah, I could see that. Sarah Barshop, we appreciate it. ESPN, show follower.
You can't love not having Bill O'Brien and the tension that crackles through the room because you're not sure what's going to happen on any given post-practice interview?
Yeah, no, no.
How could you miss that,
Sarah? It's a very different experience, I will say that.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I heard he was a delight, just a treat inside that building the last couple of years.
But it seems like...
Just, I mean, a joyful soul.
It seems like Coach Culley is a decent guy to cover.
Yeah.
Which is something strange probably for Sarah after covering Bill O'Brien for all that time. Hey, we appreciate it, Sarah. Have fun in Arizona. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
All right, there's Sarah Barshop. Right here on ESPN 97.5. Phil Garner joining us in about 17 minutes here to talk Astros baseball. We're opening it back up on the other side, 713-780-3776.
That's all you get, Astros. I mean, that's all you get, Texans. Rockets are starting tonight. Astros are in a game five. That's all you get, Texans. You're done today.
Well, why? They're standing over there just going, thanks, guys.
Good. And here stand you are, keep standing.
And then you're over there telling them that's all you get. You get no more. You take it and like it.
That's it. We'll talk Dynamo before them.
What?
They got their talk.
Who's a better
team?
Two
segments.
Who's a better team?
Texans.
Better than the Dynamo?
From what Charlie told me, I wouldn't know. Charlie told me the Dynamo were terrible.
Will we talk? What,
did Charlie
before?
Tell you the Texans were good?
No, he. As a matter of fact, no.
No.
Okay. And the Texans did just get beat 31-3.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against a 1-4 team.
They're not even covering now.
Yeah. No,
that's
no, no.
Problem.
No. All right. 844 ESPN 975-7378-0-3776. Come on in. Or 844.
Can we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 975.
975.
The godfather of Houston sports radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 849, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Gar is going to join us. Scrap Iron, top of the former Astro manager, former Astro player. I've forgotten he was here. He was here for some good years, too, 86. He was on that team.
81 through
81 and
87.
86 were both,
yep,
playoff teams.
Those are big time. Yeah. 86 was 86 the year.
86 was awesome. 86 was awesome.
Should have been the year.
Yeah. And 713-780-3776. We'll see if he has any Laz Diaz stories or Tom Hallion stories.
Who do you think, by the way, leads the league in rushing, the NFL in rushing?
Derrick Henry?
783 yards. Who, through the first six games? You can just do some math on that if you'd like to. Do you know who number two is? He didn't play this week, or he'd be up there. Nick Chubb.
Oh. Then he's off this week, too.
Then Zeke, then Joe Mixon. How much do you think?
Zeke, really?
Yeah, Zeke's third. How many yards do you think
Pollard
Zeke is?
Tony Pollard playing that way? That's amazing.
Well, Pollard's in there, too, with 300 and some odd yards. Hmm. Tony Pollard actually is in the top 12, 13, with 366 yards. Zeke averages 521 yards. How many yards behind Ezekiel Elliott, or Derrick Henry, is Ezekiel Elliott?
How many yards behind Derrick Henry?
Is yeah, Zeke is third in the league.
I would say 300.
No, but you're not that far off. No. 262 yards, no. And he's third in the league. Derrick Henry, 783. Number two, Nick Chubb, 523.
Wow.
Now, he didn't play this week, but
yeah.
You know how many touchdowns Derrick Henry has? Man, boy, that workload for Derrick Henry, it really has caused him to fall off.
Listen, when you have a 1,500-yard season and a 2,000-yard season, I talked to Sage about this yesterday. You normally will fall. When you rush for 2,000 yards, you're going to fall off.
Almost always. There is going to be a fall off at some point, but he's uniquely built to go the distance. He's not a grinder. Like, he can grind, but also if you give him a runway, he ran 22 miles an hour the other day. You know who else ran that? DK Metcalf, when he ran down Pat Peterson. That's extraordinarily fast to go 22 miles an hour. That man's 250 yards and can run that fast. He's got 10 touchdowns. Next closest, James Robinson, Jalen Hurts, Kareem Hunt, Ezekiel Elliott, Sam Darnold, James Conner. 5 touchdowns. No one's even in this guy's. He's got 2 runs of 40-plus yards. And he is one of only 2 back. Chase Edmonds randomly has 2 carries of over 40, and Derrick Henry. He has a long run of 76 yards. 39 first downs rushing. Like, it's a joke. This guy is just one of the great monsters we've ever seen in football. And the other day, I mean, I'm watching the Astros blowout. Love? I still don't think he does, because no. Tennessee's kind of a blob, bland, boring team. But Derrick Henry's numbers are just, I just wanted to mention that. I'm looking at, I had a preseason prop on Jonathan Taylor leading the league in rushing. I'm like, unless Derrick, he's got 472. That's not bad. But unless Derrick Henry, you know, falls off a ladder or plays frisbee golf, there's no chance that Jonathan Taylor is going to be able to catch him, because Derrick Henry's not getting injured. Unless he goes into a ditch looking for a frisbee, a driver at that, or falls off a ladder cleaning his own, or
gets
caught in a gutter.
That Derrick Henry cleans his own gutters?
He probably has leaf guard. He probably paid to get the leaf guard system, which helped. Or if he was a purse snatcher, if he's going after a purse snatcher, and
you mean tripping over a curb?
No, falls.
Do you think Derrick Henry
unceremoniously chasing a felon?
No, well, that didn't really happen. But
It could have.
It could have happened. No, it could have happened. Or you could have just tripped over a curb.
You're also underestimating Derrick Henry's frisbee drives. Don't go in ditches. They go right to the hole.
450.
Also, when Derrick Henry would fall off a ladder, the earth would shake for him.
When Derrick Henry chases down a crook, he catches him. He doesn't trip on a curb.
Crook sees him running and goes, never mind, I'm done.
That's it.
I'm just going to lay down here with my hands behind my back.
Let's get Jimmy in here. He wants to talk about the Astros offense. What do you say, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm hoping last night's game is a wake-up call for the team. And we're hoping, I'm hoping that, this is our road to the World Series for the city. I do have a couple of questions for you, though. I mean, 2 questions for you. Media keeps on talking about Eovaldi being Austin native, but then but then a lot of Alvin folks keep on saying he was never Alvin, really. And I don't know if that's related because, they're more pro Nolan Ryan or not, but I don't know if you have any thoughts on that one. But the other thing I wanted to say is with Greinke, I really think they should have had him set up for a starting position mentally, because
you know, he's the quiet type, you know, where, he's, you know, where he doesn't say much and everything. But it's always the silent one you got to worry about when, you know, you put him in pressure position. So, but I know they were setting, you know, they had him going through, you know, for bullpen sessions, you know, as relief and all that. But I would have preferred him, you know, being mentally prepared for a starting, you know, starting position versus Odorizzi. That's all I had.
Greinke's, I mean, I think we're getting, Greinke's a Hall of Famer. Greinke is
Did you hear their discussion yesterday? I don't think they were so sure.
Yeah, well, he's a borderline. He doesn't have all the wins that you should have. But
oh, no one's. 200 wins maybe. I mean, 220 should be the new 300. Let's think about this. Remember when it was a joke? It wasn't that long ago. You and I would joke about, oh, a quality start, 6 innings and 3 runs.
Right.
That's a 4.5 ERA over 9 innings. Do you know now more than ever, 6 innings, 3 runs really feels like a quality start? Like, you go 6 innings, just think about the amount of times we applaud pitchers like, man, when Keady gave us 5 1/3 good innings, that doesn't even...
Oh, right now?
6 innings is a miracle now.
I assure you, would you take 5 1/3, 3 from
Keady? Yes.
Oh, yes, right now.
Yeah, and I'm saying across baseball, 6 innings is the new 7 innings.
Yeah.
And 5 innings is the new 6 innings. Like a quality start now, I'm going to start paying attention to. Now I'm actually going to take quality starts seriously because
7 innings is the new complete game.
100%.
Yeah.
If you get through 7, you've thrown a complete game. Yeah. 100%.
And by the way,
complete game is the new hitter and no hitter, and no hitters are the new nothing because they happen like 11 times a year. Hey guys, another no hitter, 4 players combined for a no hitter. Because nobody can go, you know, more than 6.
And yet 5 1/3 and 3 runs is a great outing. Otherwise, it's a no hitter. Otherwise, either you throw a no hitter or you give up 12 runs. That's how baseball is today.
Nathan Eovaldi and his wife Rebecca have one son and one daughter, and they reside in Houston. We'll claim him, not Tapera. And then he played at Alvin High School. I'm sorry, if he played at Alvin High School, I can't, you know, maybe he lived in Clute, maybe he lived in Brazosport. He played at Alvin High School, he's Alvin. I can't, you know, there's nothing else you can say about it. That's Alvin. He played at Alvin High School. I don't know where he lived, but that's where he played, so yeah, he's Alvin.
I think, are you confusing him with Tapera, that we're not claiming Tapera? Because that's not...
Well, he said Alvin people that he knows, people who live in Alvin, say they don't claim him at all.
But he played at high school. He played high school ball there.
I don't know.
Maybe he was.
They're romanticizing creep. Nolan, too much, or they're protecting Nolan.
Where did he get his?
And as far as Greinke goes, Greinke's got the mentality. He's perfect on a road game because he doesn't. He's so out there that you just have. He's not thinking about. I don't think pressure gets to Greinke. He just is like.
They said that yesterday on the radio broadcast. They're like, well, the Boston fans, they're going to get into Greinke's head. They keep chanting Greinke over. And I was like, do you realize that Greinke, like, no.
Although he did say the greatest year of his life was when the fans weren't allowed into the stands during COVID. So I don't think he likes fans there.
No, he doesn't, but I think he's just oblivious to everything around him.
I think he knows. I think it annoys him. Like, why is anyone even here? Yeah.
All right, Phil Garner's going to join us on the other side. Right here on ESPN.
Quirky Greinke can be fun when things are going well, but right now I'm like, I just don't think we can trust you anymore,
no,
Zach.
No
offense, but you got nothing left.
Yeah. All right. Well, Cars for Kids. Phil Garner.
They got something left for you. Carsforkids.org. That's the website. You can go there. They work with Houston Can Academy, and what they do is help remove the impediments for kids who have difficulty, young people have difficulty learning in traditional settings. That's where Houston Can Academy says, yes, you can. You can get through high school and get your diploma. And I love that Cars for Kids work with them. That's a great opportunity for them. Carsforkids.org, this is your chance to be able to have your stuff taken off the... I mean, how great is that? You can have all of your junk taken away from your house. When I say all your junk, I mean your car, your truck, your motorcycle. They'll do that for you. They'll haul it off for you. They'll give you a $50 Visa gift card when you mention ESPN 97.5, and they will give you a tax write-off. So how great is that to have something removed from your property that you wanted removed anyway, but you didn't want to have to pay for it? Now you don't. Actually, you get paid for it. They will give you that tax write-off so you can write off the car and not the kid. Carsforkids.org.
ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save